Luke 9, verse 48. He said unto them, who shall ever receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be the greatest, or great.
That makes sense.
We started to talk about shall receive. It's an important word. It's dekomai. And it means to accept fully, to receive into one's family, to bring up, to educate, and to sustain. So the receiving, it says that we have received this grace and we are partakers of the heavenly nature. And by that definition alone, contentment should be the only position. Contentment is a permanent state of mind that everything is exactly as it should be. You've been perfected by one offering. You can have no need. You, wherever you look, you see the perfection of His holiness. Everything is finished. Has been for 2,000 years. The only thing that is required of you is total and complete repentance. Without repentance, there's no acceptance. And partial repentance isn't repentance. It's on or off. It's not analog. It's digital. You're either perfect or you're beyond help. No in between. Amen? Gary, you're not buying that.
Oh, you had to go and say something.
What does that mean?
No, you said it's been finished for 2,000 years, and that just, it actually was finished before the foundations of the earth, and yet that brings the question up. It was finished before 2,000 years, and yet fulfilled 2,000 years ago. Well, what's the right word for what actually took place at the cross?
Again, there's two ways of looking at life. You look from the bottom up, or you look from the top down. Einstein said it better than anybody else. He said, in eternity, everything happens at once. So that's what we have to see. We have to look from His eyes to see. As long as we're looking from our eyes, we're always locked in time. There's always something that doesn't appear finished. There's always all this other garbage that just is carnal. We look from the top down. There's no contradiction. Everything was finished before the foundation of the world. You were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. You are part of the elect. The elect doesn't mean you have anything special. It just means God saw the end of the movie. So He knows who are His. But there's nothing in the perfection of His holiness, which is what happens in the renewal of our mind, then we see what He sees. We speak what He sees. That's what it means to confess the Lord Jesus. Homologio. You speak the same thing. And that can't happen until the Word is made flesh in you. And the only way the Word is made flesh in you is by not leaning on your own arm of understanding for anything. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Let's look at a couple of these accepted. Let's go to John 4. Sometimes it's translated as received. John 4. Starting 43. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee.
John 4 what?
John 4, 43. Now 44. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. and then he came again to Cana. So they received him. And they received him, in receiving him, they had to see a difference in themselves. And that's the mystery. All right. Let's go to...
Is part of it they heard of him and believed?
Yeah.
Is that part of receiving?
Right. And the whole idea of the difference between Judah and Galilee, remember Judah is... It comprised the only two tribes that were remaining. It comprised the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. And in the purposes of the tribes, it had a purpose for each of the 12 tribes. 10 of them departed after the Manasseh thing. And 2 of them remained. And the 2 tribes, one is Judah. Judah was responsible for the bloodline. Benjamin was responsible for the temple. And so, in that context, the people of Judah believed that they, by their birthright, were members of the kingdom of God. That's became the basis of everything they thought. So they did not receive him. But in Galilee, it was called Galilee of the Nations, they received him in Galilee. They received him because the Galileans had no right in their minds to this birthright business. Now the same thing now is true to those who believe, you know, you accept Jesus as your personal salvation, personal savior, and then that's it. So they are in the same boat as the Jews were in Judah, that they believe that by that birthright they were members of the kingdom of God. And Jesus destroyed that. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 3.
Well, their position is what remains today, right? I mean, Benjamin is no longer in the picture.
Nor is Judah. There are no more Jews.
Right, but...
John chapter 3. I mean, Acts chapter 3, I'm sorry. But what?
There's something about those people who call themselves Jews. They are... holding on to that birthright position, I suspect.
76% of the people that live in Israel that call themselves Jews are atheists.
What?
They're secular.
They don't believe. They're secular Jews, Zionists. It's a political act. What? All right. Anybody believe? See that?
No.
You understand what a Zionist is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is a Zionist?
Huh?
Yeah, what is
that? A Zionist is a political Jew.
Well, that's a stretch.
No, it isn't. It's the definition.
Probably a stretch to say that they're atheists, but to say they're secular.
No, it's not me saying they're atheists. Surveys have shown they're atheists.
All right.
Don't want to do with that information.
they're the same. It's they're cultural or political Jews rather than spiritual Jews.
Do they know that?
Yes.
Conversation isn't going anywhere.
All right. Acts 3.
Well, that has to be a picture, though. I mean, that's there for a reason, not just nothing. If that's the case, then...
The case is that there's no more Holy Land. There's no more Israel. There's no more America from God's standpoint.
And the picture says to us, says something to us. What do we believe?
You must die is what we believe. That's the only way that his life is in you. There can't be two of you.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking in relation to what you just said about that bunch of people that most of the world has never heard of. And so...
Well, this was several years ago, so it may be much higher percentage now. Or it could be a little different, but it's in that ballpark.
Yeah. But I'm interpreting it as there's probably Christians that are in the same boat.
There's no question. Christians. Sure, yeah.
And they don't really believe, but they like the platform and the righteousness and all the goodies, which is what Judah would get by not dying and accepting Christ or the language.
Remember, he said... To the Jews that believed on him, you are of your father the devil. And the lusts of the father are all you're capable of doing. That's pretty intense. All right, Acts 3. Peter is doing the appeal, which he always did, to repent. In verse 14, but you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent you, therefore, and be converted, that your sin may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets. Since the world began. So, the idea here is in verse 21, whom the heaven must receive. The heavens had to receive Christ into the heavens because he had fulfilled the course, he had fulfilled the way. And so, it was as natural or more natural than gravity. It overcame gravity, in fact, and that he fulfilled not just the Jewish law, he fulfilled all law. So the heavens had to receive it. Now, the same is true in us. The heavens must receive us by repentance. And again, it's impossible to repent if you don't know that Jesus Christ has been resurrected in you. You can play games with words and try for sorcery, but it's impossible to repent from God's perspective until you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is your only life, your only self. Amen? So again, it's just received that they had to receive them. All right, let's go to, this is going to take all day. Well, that's all right. It should take all day. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7.
Just let me back up here. So John the Baptist preached. His message was one of repentance. But he didn't go out and say repent and expect something to happen. He preached. And then the message was repentance. I mean, it was wrapped into...
No, he preached. No, it was always he would be the forerunner of Messiah.
Preaching takes place and the repentance comes because they hear.
Right.
And know, and they go, yes.
Right.
And repentance then is just automatic. It's not like a struggle. It's all God.
Okay. Where did I say go?
Second Corinthians.
Chapter 7. All right, this is when, remember in 1 Corinthians, there was a member of the church that was having intercourse with his mother. And it wasn't repented, I mean, it wasn't preached against. So Paul wrote this incredible letter that just destroyed them. So now he's talking about that. And he says, nevertheless, in verse 6, nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry through it were but for a season. Now I rejoice that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us and nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow or the repentance of the world worketh death. For behold, the selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yes, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things you have proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for this, for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that had suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joy for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting which I made before Titus is found a truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, and how with fear and trembling you received him. So, Titus is the was Paul's advance man that went to Corinth and relayed Paul's letter to them. And then Titus himself preached and everything about the repentance that was necessary to clear this thing. And then by that preaching and by Paul's letter, Paul is joyful now that they received Titus without, and they were comforted by that. Yeah, and so this is a big deal. So anyway, I'm going to try to get this meaning of receive. All right, let's just, I don't want to do this anymore. Let's go to one more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. No, let's not even go there. Well, yes, go there. Because it's used twice and it's two different words and it's important.
Talking about receive.
Yeah. Second, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, it's important here because there are two different words for receive. And verse 10. You are witnesses in God also how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you have heard of us. Now this word, the first one, when you received the word of God, it's paralambano, which means to receive in the ear. It's what you would receive by hearing. And so the word of God which you have heard of us, you received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you, I got myself confused. There's two received here, supposedly. Yeah, when you heard the word of God, which you heard of us, when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, that first word is to receive, to hear in the ear. You received it. The second received is the word dekomai, which means to receive it in the heart. So you have to receive it in the ear, then receiving it in the heart, it's another way of saying the word is made flesh. First you received it in the ear, and then by obedience you received it in the heart. Amen? Okay, now that's the one that I want to go to, James chapter 1. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation or testing, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. But let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will he begat us, with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to wrath. Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, we're going to spend some time on that word engrafted. It's emphytos in Greek. It comes from the word phio, which means to be born. Everybody here understands that in America, for the most part, at least in my generation, the Americans were cultural Christians. They were Christians because they grew up in the church. Well, that's not the truth anymore, but how quickly that has changed. But cultural Christianity is the same as Zionism in Israel. You can be a cultural Christian, and even if you've gone through the thing of accepting Jesus as your personal Savior, and maybe even had some kind of what to you was a conversion experience, unless the Word was engrafted in you, this Christ in you, the only hope of glory, it's all just philosophy. And the engrafted word can never be truly revealed without complete repentance. And so that's where we're going to stop today. And we're going to go through that in great detail, what the engrafted word means and what the evidence of the engrafted word is for you. Amen?
This goes back to the beginning of the morning where we talked about the least of you is the greatest. The least of you will know that we grasp
it. Amen.
Because you're empty.
All right. So, everybody pray for the new grandson and their parents.
And for Joyce Anna.
And pray for Joyce Anna's trip. You want us to lay hands on you?
Prayed up.
All right, take it, big guy.